Okay. That time is just about 6 o'clock. Apparently the news ended early. Gosh, how did that happen? Okay. Well, we're all together here now. Hope everybody enjoyed the silence. It's a good time to test something. I don't know. Not your hearing. Test maybe there's any static on your radio. I don't know. But the point is, it's 6 o'clock now. We can all calm down. It's time for Off the Wall. I guess the first order of business is to offend people, because that's what we exist on this earth to do. From the cradle to the grave, it's just one big string of offending people, one after the next. At this particular day and time, the way I choose to offend people is by playing the latest piece of Cheech and Chong that I'm featuring until Tommy Chong is released from prison. So if you're religious, or Italian, or just overall conservative, you may want to do something else for the next minute and 55 seconds.
In the name of Patri, the Fili, Spiritu e Sanctu. Sanctus, Sanctus, Sanctus! All you whops, get off of the lawn! Si, come in. Ah, don.
Good evening, Your Holiness. Your Holiness, we have just received a very important message.
Say, what is the message state?
The message states, Your Holiness, that unless we do something drastic, we will lose the church and all that it stands for.
Continue.
And further states, Your Holiness, that in order to save the church and all that it stands for, you, as head of the church, must make love to a beautiful woman.
Oh, no, I'm not going to do this! I'm the head of the Holy Catholic Church with the priests and the nuns and the little bambinos! No, I'm not going to do this! Santa Maria, who sent this or not?
Your Holiness, it was signed the Mafia.
I do it. But I have four conditions under which I do this. What else I know of this?
Four conditions, Joe? And they are, Your Holiness?
Number one. This girl who I make this love to, she must be blind so she cannot see who is a defile in her body.
She must be blind, see.
Number two. She must be deaf so she cannot hear what is happening to her this day.
She must be deaf, see.
Si, grazie. Number three. She must be dumb so she cannot tell the world of what has happened to her this day.
She must be dumb, see.
And number four.
See.
She gotta have a big tits. Big ones like that. Huh? You can make it? A big tits. Boom, 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 boom. Big tits.
Well, you can't say I didn't warn you. It's Off the Wall. Manuel Goldstein here with you from 6 o'clock to 7 on this Tuesday evening. Here in beautiful, cloudy Long Island. Well, the first order of business, of course, will be to look at what's going on in the world. Sorry, I didn't have enough time to check the teletype machine. I'm sure it's broken, so it's no point even going over there. But I took the liberty of printing out some news stories on the way in. I guess that's what made me not be here when the news ended 5 minutes early. Plus, I got stuck behind an old lady today on the road. There's a single-lane road that goes here. And usually it's not so bad. But today I got stuck behind somebody who was going the exact same route that I was going all the way up until the Union Building here at the State University at Stony Brook. And she was intent on not breaking any traffic laws whatsoever. In fact, she was even compensating for the people who were breaking the traffic laws by going a little bit under the speed limit, stopping for an extra long time at the stop signs. In fact, maybe even stopping at a green light for a little while. It was all I could do to avoid muttering. But I did. I avoided muttering, and everything worked out. So that's all that matters in the end. But had it not been for that old bag, I probably would be able to read the teletype news right now and tell you what's going on up to the minute. Instead, you'll have to settle for within the last couple hours. And I can tell you things like, Pakistan is testing a long-range missile. Isn't that nice? Yeah. They're testing a nuclear-capable missile which could hit targets deep in neighboring India. It was the first test of the Shaheen 2 missile, which Pakistan says has a range of 2,000 kilometers, and it can carry nuclear and conventional warheads. And this, of course, follows the revelation that this Pakistani scientist was selling nuclear secrets to such countries as North Korea, Libya, Iran. And the thing is, he was treated as a national hero. They chose not to prosecute him. And the United States said, yeah, you know, okay, that's a good idea. Don't prosecute him. We understand. And this after going nuts over the fact that North Korea or Iran or Syria or Libya are even going to shoulder surf and look at somebody's notes on how to build a nuclear bomb. You know, we're freaking out over that. Here we have clear-cut evidence that a guy is selling nuclear secrets to these hostile regimes. And, well, you know what? It's okay. No big deal. Try not to let it happen again. Sometimes I just can't follow the world. I just can't follow the logic. And the thing here, the real pièce de résistance here, is that India is not upset at the fact that Pakistan tested this long-range missile. They're not upset at all. Both countries, according to the BBC, both countries appear comfortable with the apparent contradictory objectives of building nuclear and conventional strength at the same time that they're talking peace. So, meanwhile, the first Indian cricket tour to Pakistan in 14 years is taking place as a start of a fresh round of talks on launching a bus service between the Indian state of Rajasthan and the Pakistani province of Sindh. So, launch nuclear missiles, everybody's friends. It's pretty unbelievable. The other thing I don't get, I never have gotten this, I've mentioned this before. The big deal about countries having nuclear capabilities. You know, it's okay for some countries, but other countries, no way. No way, we just cannot have that. I heard talk on another radio station on the way over here that Iran was thought to be capable of perhaps building a crude nuclear device by the year 2007 if something hadn't been done to stop them in their tracks, and that was a cause for concern. And, you know, I want to say to myself, or actually I want to say to everybody, what's the big deal here? You know how many nukes we have? You know how many nukes they have in Russia and China and India and all these other places? So Iran wants to have a nuke. What's the big deal? Let Iran have a nuke. I really think we should get the NRA involved here. You know, the National Rifle Association, they've got the right idea as far as arming yourself to protect yourself. Why can't this apply to countries? Why can't we say, you know, Iran, you got to protect yourself. What if somebody breaks into your country in the middle of the night? What are you going to do? You ever think about that? What, are you going to call the cops? Are you going to call the United Nations? No. It doesn't work that way. In this real world, you have to be able to defend yourself on a moment's notice. Someone breaks into your country, you're the one that has to defend it. And, you know, I can just picture this scenario where Iran is in a hard place. They don't have nuclear weapons to defend themselves against these middle-of-the-night break-ins or any other kind of crime that might take place. Who are we to say that they don't have the right to do this? And where is the NRA on this? The NRA has not weighed in and stood up for the right of countries like North Korea and Libya and Bhutan and Togo to defend themselves. As this happens all the time. The statistics back this up. Look it up. You'll see countless instances where all kinds of crimes have been avoided because of the threat of nuclear power being used against an invader. Hear that sound? That's the sound of a nuclear bomb cocking. Please back out of the country. All right, well, we'll see. Maybe the NRA will respond in kind. John Edwards took our advice last week. Remember, we said he should probably step down after Kerry won all the Super Tuesday primaries? Almost all. And he did. So people do listen, and that's heartening to hear. The hijacker of the Achille Lauro is now dead. That's right. He died in U.S. custody in Iraq. Do you remember when he was captured? Wasn't that long ago. Late Tuesday, officials in Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat's office, speaking on condition of anonymity, said that Abu Abbas had died in U.S. custody. That's interesting that that's where the news is coming from. Now, you may recall, this was back, I think, in the 80s. In 1985, the ship, the Achille Lauro, was commandeered by Abbas's Small Palestine Liberation Front, the PLF. Palestinian militants threw an elderly wheelchair-bound Jewish-American tourist, Leon Klinghoffer, overboard. Now, a U.S. official commenting on the story says that Abu Abbas died recently of natural causes while in U.S. custody in Iraq. If you consider being clubbed over the head a natural cause, I guess, you know, for somebody who does something horrible like that, a club on the head is kind of a natural way things should progress. I mean, does anybody really believe this guy died of natural causes while in U.S. custody? Did we even hear that he was in poor health? No, the guy was probably tortured and killed by our government, by our soldiers. Does that bother you? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I mean, these are the scum of the earth. These are the people that do horrible things. You see it reflected in our culture. You see it on television. You read about it in the papers. People's attitudes are changing towards this kind of thing. Torture is now considered an acceptable method to gain information. Of course, sometimes there's no information to be gained, and you're wasting the torture on an innocent person. But there's plenty of torture to go around, so nothing is really lost. But that's what we know about that particular story so far, or maybe for all time. Another story, which I heard mentioned a lot on the BBC. The other day I was driving, I was flipping through the dial, trying to hear some news. I was in the Philadelphia area, and they have a news station there. I was trying to listen to something having to do with news, and they were giving commercials, and it was a traffic report, then it was the weather that comes after the traffic report, then it was some kind of advertisement, then it was a little featurette piece. It took about 15 minutes for them to get to a news story. And when they finally did get to a news story, it was about a bunch of Boy Scouts who got stranded on an island someplace and had to be rescued by helicopters. That was the main news there. Not even something local. Just a little puff piece. Meanwhile, I was tuning around trying to find those NPR stations late at night that broadcast BBC. Kind of wish it was the other way around, but never mind. And they were reporting the news, and it was all about the elections in Greece and the situation in Haiti. But the top story came from a United States organization that was getting no coverage at all. in the United States media, at least not over the airwaves. Not at that hour. The United States military used excessive force during arrests of suspected Islamic militants in Afghanistan, resulting in avoidable civilian deaths. That's according to U.S.-based Human Rights Watch. The report also said three people had died in U.S. custody in Afghanistan, and the military has failed to properly investigate the deaths. The first two were ruled homicides by U.S. military pathologists who performed autopsies, but officials have yet to explain what happened to any of the three men. The United States is setting a terrible example in Afghanistan on detention practices. That's according to Brad Adams, executive director of the Asia division of the group. Civilians are being held in a legal black hole with no tribunals, no legal counsel, no family visits, and no basic legal protections, he said. The U.S. has rejected criticism by the group, which says international law may have been violated. This report shows lack of understanding on the region. This is a combat zone. We follow strict rules of engagement and the laws of war. It's according to Lieutenant Colonel Brian Hilferty. Well, Brian, Guantanamo Bay is not a war zone. What's your excuse there? Is it the setting? Or is it the people? Well, according to the U.S. government, it's more the people. When you're dealing with terrorists, different rules apply. Of course, what they leave out when they tell you this is that these are suspected terrorists. They haven't been tried yet. They haven't even been charged yet. But they're being treated completely differently. And it's not just foreigners. Now it's people in the United States as well. Someone could come up to you tomorrow and throw you into a black van, take you to Guantanamo Bay, and tell people, if they choose to ask, that you're a suspected enemy combatant. No access to lawyers. No due process. The rules are different because you're a terrorist. Oh, suspected terrorist, sorry. And that's the way things are going. This is after 4 years of Bush. Imagine after 8 years of Bush. Think about that. Now, meanwhile, in Germany, there's the case of this defendant who was linked to the September 11th terrorist attacks, Munar El Matastek. Now, he was sentenced to 15 years in prison. He was convicted, sentenced to 15 years in prison. He's the only person to be convicted in connection with the attacks on September 11th. But now he's facing relief. How did this happen? How could this have happened? Well, prosecutors alleged during his trial that El Matastek provided logistical support for the Hamburg al-Qaeda cell. And that included lead September 11th hijacker Mohammed Atta, one of the pilots. And El Matastek consistently denied the charges during his 3.5-month trial. But he was convicted, sentenced to 15 years in prison. I remember at the time, people here were upset because 15 years seemed like such a short prison term for somebody convicted of such a horrible thing. But his lawyers asked the appeals court for acquittal or a retrial, alleging their client was wrongly convicted because the United States refused to allow court testimony by Ramzi Benashib, thought to be the Hamburg cell's key contact with al-Qaeda. And he was captured in Pakistan on the first anniversary of September 11th, and he's in U.S. custody somewhere. So the appeals court said that El Matastek was denied a fair trial because the United States refused to provide access to Benashib. And the presiding appeals court judge even said the defendant is certainly far removed from being clear of suspicion. This guy is probably guilty. But he could be released because the United States is not following the rules. Because we refuse to allow court proceedings to take place the way they're supposed to be taking place. And this is the price you pay terrorists go free because you don't respect the law enough to follow it yourself. It's the way it has to be. So these guys, they need to shape up and start respecting due process. Or we're going to be in a lot worse shape than we are now. Unbelievable. And meanwhile, Bin Laden, of course. The search for Bin Laden goes on. Oh, boy. I saw a headline, I guess about a week ago, on CNN. Yeah, sometimes I look at the other ones, too, but it's either BBC or CNN. Fox, I just look at just to see how crazy they are. But the CNN headline was just unbelievable. It said, United States to start the 24/7 search for Bin Laden. I mean, come on, what were they doing up until now? It was a 9-to-5, Monday through Friday search? I thought this was America's most wanted, literally. The guy that we most wanted above all else. But now all of a sudden we're redoubling, whatever that word means, our efforts. And yeah, now this is the real thing. This is the real search. I had a conversation with Jello Biafra yesterday, who, by the way, will be at the next conference in all likelihood. Well, not for sure, in the next couple of weeks. Next conference, of course, being the Fifth Hope. Takes place in New York City, July 9th through 11th. Hotel Pennsylvania, same old place. For information, go to www.thefifthhope.org. Hopefully you know how to spell all that. But the conversation I had with them, we were talking about Bin Laden. And the prediction that we both agreed on, is that Bin Laden is going to be captured right in time, either for the Republican convention, or most certainly for the election. Because if you look at it, if you look at the way things are going right now, Bush is behind. He's losing. Look at the polls. Kerry is ahead by about 10 points now. And that's without naming Al Sharpton as his vice presidential running mate, which certainly will add about 20 percentage points to that. No, it's funny. Now that Edwards has dropped out, nobody cares what Sharpton or Kucinich says. It's just all about Kerry now. Would be nice to see them take him on, you know, without anybody else that's a front runner, but I don't think we're going to see that happen. So, yeah, Kerry is ahead by a good percentage. Bush needs to do something. Something needs to happen. And certainly the Republican convention in New York is going to be a very interesting time. But there's a couple of months before the election where anything else could happen as well. And it just makes sense. You know? If this was a bad TV show, you know they're waiting for that third commercial break to get Bin Laden. You know, that's the climax of the whole stupid melodrama. Anyway, according to various news agencies, the Al-Qaeda leader might be preparing to move from Pakistan to Afghanistan. This following several intercepted phone calls to various U-Haul agencies that... U.S. intelligence found signs of a network of Al-Qaeda couriers and safe houses on the Afghan side of the border. And that kind of thing could be a sign that Bin Laden might be planning to flee Pakistan. Of course, not very likely now if he reads the net or newspapers that he's going to do that. So I would say, you know, just the fact that this story exists means that this is not going to happen. And the other thing is that, I was talking about this the other night as well. If Bin Laden is captured in Pakistan, you may very well see an overthrow of the government there. Because of the outrage that the populace will express in no uncertain terms. And that could also be why he's thinking of moving to Afghanistan. He might be facing pressure to be in a different country when he gets captured so that no overthrow of the Pakistani leadership occurs. I don't know. I'd like to hear people's theories on this. You can always write to us or call us. If you want to write to us, OTW at 2600.com. To call us, country code 1-631-632-WUSB, which translates to 9872. As we were saying, Democratic nominee John Kerry leads President Bush in the latest CNN USA Today Gallup poll. Boy, that's one heck of a poll there. The race appears to be fluid and remains close. But the poll found that among likely voters, Kerry was the choice of 52%. Which, no matter how you look at it, is the majority. Bush, 44% in a two-way matchup. In a three-way race with independent candidate Ralph Nader, Kerry had 50%, Bush 44%, Nader 2%. Looks like that 2% is coming from Kerry, not Bush at all. And among registered voters, Kerry's lead over Bush narrowed from 8 percentage points to 5 points. That's in a two-way race, and then from 6 points to 2 points in a three-way race. So it's, I guess, you know, it is kind of close. Things certainly can happen. Unpredictable things. Maybe they don't need to wheel out Bin Laden. Maybe they can do it without him. Maybe they can save him for something else. So the point is, approval ratings are falling for Bush. And once the debates start, I'm sure you're going to see some real changes in percentage points, leads, things like that. The important thing now, though, is for us to have a sense of where the American public stands on all this. You know, we need to not so much rely on mass media to tell us what's going on. We need to sort of figure it out on our own. For that particular purpose, we're cranking up the old WUSB political machine. That's right, it's Campaign 2004. Yes, it's where we step out and listen to the very various busy signals across the world that will greet us when we try to ask questions on what's really on people's minds. What we've decided to do is journey out into several key states, because those are the states that decide just what's going to happen for the rest of us, so there's no point even thinking that we've got a say in anything. Let's get ourselves a dial tone. You have a dial tone there? Okay. Is that coming through the board or is that coming through the phone? I think that's coming through the phone. All right. Well, if that's the case, we'll just have to move the phone thing over there. It's not supposed to work this way. All right. What we're going to do is dial a phone number. Are we supposed to dial 9? We're supposed to dial 9, aren't we? There. Now we dialed 9. And we're going to... it doesn't even matter if I have this microphone on, does it? Okay. I'm going to call a phone number over here. As we've demonstrated many times in the past, if you want to know the answer to something, you have to call 7-Eleven and get their response, and they will tell you what's up. Calling a 7-Eleven in Iowa, apparently a busy 7-Eleven, that might be forwarding to voicemail, in fact.
You have reached
Tim.
Woolworth with Interclad.
At the time.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? We're not going to depend on Verizon for directory assistance anymore, I guess. Okay. Well, I don't know how to count that for Iowa. All right. We're gonna come back to Iowa a little bit later, maybe. Let's go over to Connecticut now. Well, hopefully, we'll get a little better intelligence. Connecticut, of course, being a traditional Democrat stronghold, I believe, right? I don't have the statistics in front of me.
7-11, may I help you?
Yes, hi. We're calling from WUSB Radio in Stony Brook, New York. We're just taking a very quick question poll. If the election were tomorrow, would you vote for Kerry or for Bush?
I would definitely not go for Bush. I'll go for Kerry.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right, and as predicted, Connecticut is siding with Kerry, so we have one vote for Kerry, so it's one 7-11 vote for him. We're going to do about five, all right? And obviously, if Kerry gets three, there's no need to do the other two. We can, but they count for nothing, just like the real election. All right, let's go out to the crazy state of... I don't mean that in a bad way, all right? I don't mean that in a bad way. The state of California, where all kinds of fun things are always going on. Let's see how they feel out there. I mean, they voted Schwarzenegger in, as governor, you know?
Orlando on the line. May I help you?
Yes, hi. We're calling from WUSB Radio in New York. Very quick question. We're doing a poll. If the election were tomorrow, would you vote for Kerry or for Bush?
Oh, just a moment. I cannot answer you. Steve!
Ask somebody else? That's not the way it should
Hold
be.
Hold on, okay?
Okay. But this is a secret ballot, you know. Can't go consulting with the customers and management and things like that.
Steve?
Hi, we're just calling from WUSB Radio in Stony Brook, New York. Very quick question for our poll. Just asking if you'd vote for Kerry or for Bush if the election were tomorrow.
Kerry or Bush?
Or somebody else, if you'd like.
I don't know. I'd probably have to be undecided.
Undecided? That's fine, too.
Yep.
All right. Thank you very much for your help.
Okay.
We have one for Kerry, and California is undecided. You know, California, why... I'm not going to get into it. I'm just not going to get into it. Take a stand, you know? I mean, half of the state votes for a wacko to be governor. The other half is marrying gay couples everywhere. You know, you gotta take a stand. One side or the next. Undecided. Anything but undecided. All right. Undecided people, that's how you get people like Bush, because too many people can't make up their minds. Okay, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to fly off the handle like that. Let's take a phone call. Take a little break here. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, Mr. Goldstein?
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
Upstate New York.
Upstate New York. It must be very nice up there this time of year.
Yeah, actually, it's kind of funny. It's right by a state park called Stony Brook.
There's a state park in upstate New York called Stony Brook?
That's right. You go swimming. Well, not now. You can't go swimming. But.
Wow. Well, that's something.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I didn't know there were two Stony Brooks in the same state.
Yeah, it's part of, you know, it's by Letchworth. You ever hear of Letchworth, the Grand Canyon of the East?
No, I don't think I ever have heard of that. And it's in New York?
Yeah, it's all, you know, kind of by Rochester.
Oh, okay. I hear they're going to put a new ferry from Rochester to Toronto in place. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, it's looking to, I mean, you know, you go up there, you know, hop on, you're in another country, and, you know.
A couple hours.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
That's a pretty good thing. I might just take that myself. I have to get to Rochester first, but, you know, after that, only a couple hours to Canada.
There you go.
So what's on your mind?
What about the Martha Stewart thing?
Oh, yeah, Martha Stewart. That's a big news event I forgot.
I'm just kind of, you know, I got to say, like, if you were to compare her to someone like, you know, Kevin Mitnick, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, it seems like, you know, she's being, you know, kind of treated, you know, it's like she's being given the benefit of the doubt, you know? Like, she's probably not going to do any jail time, maybe, you know?
You don't think she will?
Well, I mean, she's not in jail now.
Well, that's true, but she's awaiting sentencing, that's why.
Well, sure, but I'm saying, you know...
Yeah, Kevin was held before trial. You're right about that. She's out on bail. Of course, she does have billions of dollars at her disposal, so that probably does enter into it.
Oh, certainly, but I'm saying, like, you know, you don't see movies being made about her, you know, how, you know, she's... You know,
oh, I think you will see some movies made about Martha Stewart. I'm pretty sure that's going to happen.
Yeah, well, not before her trial, you know.
Yeah, not before the trial, true. And, you know, she got a trial pretty quickly. But, you know, I think this points to something in American culture that we just love to see the high and mighty fall, you know. We love to build them up and turn them into these icons, you know, the Bill Gates, the Michael Jacksons, the Martha Stewarts. But we love more than anything tearing them down, regardless of what's behind that. To be honest, I don't even know what it is she did. She basically got a warning of some sort that her stock was going to plummet, and she sold her stock based on that, which apparently is illegal, but I can't really figure out why it's illegal. I'm sure I'll get all kinds of mail and explanations, but morally, I'm not sure. I just don't see what the horrible thing she did was. I'm not saying she didn't do a horrible thing. I just don't see exactly what it was.
I think it's after that it came out, you know, that she knew this. She tried to cover it up. You know, she didn't just say, okay, I knew... You know, because there was nothing. It's like, you know, 60 grand or something she was maybe trying to save, you know.
Yeah, it was a small amount for her. For us, of course, it's a large amount, but 60 grand is nothing. So why would she lie about something like that? She obviously panicked. I don't know. I think, you know, we just got to consider all these things when dealing with any case, not just the rich and famous people.
Oh, sure. But, I mean, I think, you know, just going back to, like, you know, George Bush, I think he sold some stock, you know, before, when he had... knowledge that it was going to be, you know, dropping. And nothing ever came of that, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it just goes to show, if you got the money, you know, then, you know, you can fight it in court, and, you know, you're not going to ever end up going to jail, I don't think.
It's quite possible.
Probation for whatever, you know, 6 years or something.
So you think she'll just get probation?
Well, she's, like, 62 years old. I mean, I don't, you know what I mean?
Is she that old?
I was... very surprised that she was found guilty, to tell you the truth, you know.
Well, she's held together pretty well for that age.
Well,
but you know what? Good for her. You know, coming into court every day, I thought I was looking at somebody that was 55.
Oh, 62. I mean,
62, that's something. Wow. She should be proud.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for your call.
All right, take it easy.
Good luck up there in the other Stony Brook.
Yep.
All right. I intend to check that story out. Make sure he's not making that up, that there's another Stony Brook up in New York. I mean, a state park, he said? Doesn't that mean the state government is behind two Stony Brooks? Could explain where all our new equipment went. You know, the new equipment we're supposed to get to keep this place in the 90s? Yeah, it's probably in the forest someplace. All right, I'm going to take another call, and we're going to continue the our own little primary here. So far, John Kerry is ahead. He has one electoral vote from 7-Eleven in Connecticut. We have no opinion at all from California. No answer, or actually wrong number in Iowa. So I don't know what to do with Iowa. That's the only number we got there. Good evening. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Emmanuel. How are you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Not much. It's just a random sample from North Carolina. How are you?
Pretty good. How have you been?
Not too bad at all. Listen, since you mentioned it on the show tonight,
uh-huh.
I'd like to volunteer for security.
At the conference?
Yeah, at the conference.
Or just in general. Okay. Okay, I can tell you basically what you need to do. First of all, if you visit the site, thefifthhope.org, you'll see a whole big propaganda presentation as to what the theme of this conference is going to be. In there is a link for volunteers, and you can simply mail to 5H-volunteers at 2600.com, and we're gathering all the names of people that want to do various things. And, of course, we also are opening up for speakers as well, 5H-speakers at 2600.com if you're interested in that.
Yeah. Cool. Actually, I did that already. I was wondering whether or not...
Can I just ask, what cellular company are you using? We may never find out. Are you there?
Yeah. It's Alltel.
Alltel is a cellular company?
Carolina, it is.
Wow. Well, let's hope they don't move up here, because it sounds awful. I feel like I'm talking to somebody from outer space. I guess, you know, I'll never really talk to somebody from outer space, so this is the closest it's going to get from me. I hope you you got the information I sent. And if you missed anything, of course, you can listen on the internet. He's gone. Oh, he just disappeared. I guess he was, like, passing under a tree or something and lost the signal. That's the thing. You know, I hear this more and more on regular commercial radio stations where they're interviewing people. And obviously the person is on a cell phone. But, you know, it's fine for people calling into the show. But when you're a featured guest, you know, someone with breaking news or, you know, someone who had a little bit more time to get to a studio or get to a regular phone, you can just see the annoyance in people's voices as they're doing the interview. You know, their special VIP guest is using a Sprint phone and sounds like a robot. So, unreal. I'd like to know if people still have landlines. I know a lot of people who don't have landlines anymore. Landlines, you know, the ones phones can plug into walls. Did you know that? Did you know that? Yeah, the phone network, those poles, right, with the wires connecting them, those are telephone wires. And they connect to all the phones in the country with the same wire that goes into the house and into the phone. And you can speak over these wires and your voice gets transmitted from one to the other. Yeah. That's the other way of phones. Not just the wireless. I don't know. I have a feeling. You know, people don't know that phones used to have dials. In fact, some phones still do have dials. I don't know if they work. When's the last time you made a rotary phone call? Have you ever made a rotary phone call? All right. Let's get back to the polls, because this is the future of the nation we're talking about here. Okay, so we have a vote for Kerry from Connecticut. We have no opinion from California. We have a wrong number from Iowa. Let's stick to a place that we are comfortable with, and that, of course, is right here at home. Where shall we go? Let's go over here. New York could very well decide things. As it should be. I can picture people online, 7-Eleven, buying cigarettes, lottery tickets, and the phone is ringing, and this guy has to step away from them to answer this question. Or maybe he won't step away. Okay, you get one more ring, then I'm going to Brooklyn, all right? This is Long Island. One more ring, that's it. Okay. Now, technically, Brooklyn is on Long Island, too, but it's different. I don't know if I've ever been to a 7-Eleven. Well, you know, I dialed the wrong number. A 7-Eleven in Brooklyn. Hopefully that's the same thing as 7-Eleven out here. It might be a clothing shop for all I know. Well, you see, it is different. Apparently it's a baud rate or something. All right, let's forget about Brooklyn then. Let's go, all right, let's go back to Suffolk County now. Which means I don't have to dial an area code. It's hard to get to the electoral public here. Yeah, hi. We're calling from WUSB Radio, Stony Brook, New York. We're just doing a very quick opinion poll on the election. If the election were tomorrow, would you vote for Bush or for Kerry?
Kerry.
You'll vote for Kerry. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All right. So does that lock it up for Kerry? Well, he's got two votes, New York and Connecticut. I think it's a little unfair that the two states are right next to each other. So I think in the interest of fairness, we should go someplace else. All right. I know what we can do. We can go to the state that caused all the problems. Yeah. And you know what I'm talking about. The Sunshine State. We're going to a 7-Eleven in Florida. See if we can get any Bush support. His brother is the governor, after all. Two votes for Kerry, none for Bush. and one undecided. Yes, hi. We're calling from WUSB Radio, Stony Brook, New York. Just doing a very quick survey. If the election were tomorrow, would you vote for Bush or for Kerry? You know, that about sums up Florida's attitude. A big hang-up. Yeah. How do you like that? How do you like that? Well, I don't even know how to log that one. That's undecided, too. Well, it's decided, but it's just decided for lunacy. All right, well, let's take some phone calls. Maybe we'll try Florida, California again. Not California, Iowa. California already made up their mind. They said no comment, no opinion. I don't know what to interpret this as. All right, good evening, you're on.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
This is Pat Trog. I would definitely vote for, unfortunately, it's going to be Kerry. But all said and done, there's not really going to be much of a choice.
Well, sir, do you work in a 7-Eleven?
I worked in a 7-Eleven.
Well, you have to work in a 7-Eleven now for your vote to count.
Oh, damn it.
That's just the way the system works.
Well, never mind.
Is there any secrets you can tell us to working at 7-Eleven, like things we might not know?
Don't. It's the best thing for you.
Well, I already knew that. Well, we know about the height measurements as you're running out the door, so that they can measure you if you rob the place.
Yeah, you're on cameras all over the place.
Yeah, there's cameras everywhere. I guess it's quite a job. It must not be easy at all.
Oh, it's a deli clerk job. There's nothing to it.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you got to deal with, you know, irate customers, but after a while, it just turns into you're a money-receiving machine.
Uh-huh. But you must have to deal with all kinds of lunatics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All hours of the day.
Midnight to 8 shift.
Uh-huh. People trying to buy beer who are like 12 years old, things like that.
This was 20 years ago for me.
Uh-huh.
But I just thought I'd mention this website, which is at commondreams.org, which I'm sure you've heard of.
Okay.
The article in regards to the Diebold voting machines.
Okay.
Makes this whole conversation almost redundant.
Yeah, that's true, because there's no paper trail. There's no paper trail on the electronic voting machines.
Well, there's also a bunch of variables, and I'm not going to start reading this because I'm not going to be very good at reading this on the air, but there's a bunch of donors that were CEOs for Diebold, and I'll quote one specific part. The CEO, Walden Wally Odell, resides in Columbus' northwest suburb of Upper Arlington. Odell is on record as stating that he is committed to helping Ohio deliver its electoral votes to the president this year. On September 26, 2003, he hosted the Ohio Republican Party fundraiser for the Bush re-election at this, so forth and so on.
Yeah, that's
an interesting article about how many people are on the side of Bush that are developing and, you know, putting out these voting machines. I'd say we're all pretty much screwed.
Yeah, you could say that. You could say that very much. But I don't know. I have some faith based on the 7-Eleven clerks, what they're telling me. Maybe there's hope yet. Thanks for your call.
Listen, have yourself a wonderful night.
I already am. Thank you.
Take care. It's good to talk to you.
I've been informed that in order to make this legal, we do have to get at least one more entry. And hopefully the person there won't be obnoxious. And we've decided not to go to the Northeast. We decided to go to the Midwest. Well, actually, not really the Midwest. Is Kentucky the Midwest? It is? Okay. It's kind of the Bible Belt South kind of thing. All right. Well, in any event, let's see if we can get a serious answer from the 7-Eleven people over in area code 606. And this will probably be our last poll for the night. Yes, hi. I'm calling WUSB Radio, Stony Brook, New York. We're doing a very quick survey.
Yes.
If the election were tomorrow, would you vote for Bush or for Kerry?
Hello?
Yes, did you hear me?
Yeah.
If the election were tomorrow, would you vote for Bush or for Kerry? Hello? What was that? She hung up. Why'd she hang up? Did she not understand the question? All right, you know what? This has to be continued. We're not going to get an answer this week. I'm sorry. This election is being contested because people aren't understanding the question. I guess I'm phrasing it in a confusing manner. Bush or Kerry? I should be saying something like, choice number one is Bush. They might think the person's name is Bush or Kerry. It could happen. And they might not know what they should be doing. And plus, they might not know if they say Bush, that means it's a vote for Bush. Saying Bush might mean it's a vote for Kerry. It's possible. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, somebody told me if I called this number, I'd be put on the terrorist list.
It takes about 5 minutes usually. Can you wait that long?
Yeah, I think I can.
Okay, well then you'll be on it by 7 o'clock Eastern time, certainly. Where are you calling from, sir?
Daniel.
How you doing?
Look, I just wanted to say I'm a big fan, and I had something important to say. Oh, yeah, I wanted to, I don't work for 7-Eleven, but I'd like to register West Virginia's vote for Charlton Heston.
Charlton Heston? Is he running?
If he was, West Virginia would vote for him.
Wow. Well, you know, that would be a more interesting election, I think.
It could be. Could be.
What part of West Virginia are you calling from?
I'm calling from Elkins, West Virginia. It's right about in the smack dab in the middle.
Uh-huh. The northern part or the southern part?
It's a little bit north and east.
Okay, because, you know, sometimes I go to the Dayton Hamvention in May, and I take the highway, and I go through West Virginia for about 10 minutes between, Pennsylvania and Ohio?
Yeah, through Wheeling.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it always struck me as being very, very small, but I know there's more to West Virginia than that. All right, anything else on your mind?
No, that's it.
Okay.
You have a great show. I love listening to it.
Well, thanks, thanks very much, and thanks for calling. And, of course, you can write to us, otw@2600.com. That is our electronic mail address. Again, for those of you just tuning in, the final for tonight results of the official WUSB political department's election is... two votes for Kerry, one undecided, and two very rude people. And we'll figure out what to do about this in the week ahead. I might not be here next week, too. That's another issue. So this could even be pushed further back. You may tune in next Tuesday, and that silence that you heard at the beginning might go the whole hour. Who knows? We'll just have to see what transpires between now and then. Here's something, though, that really should upset a lot of people. It upsets me. This is a headline for a story that is circulating all over the place. The Republican National Committee is telling TV stations not to run anti-Bush ads. They're telling them what to do. Yeah, it's not just a request. Or please be advised or anything like that. Listen to what they're doing. The RNC is warning television stations across the country not to run ads from the MoveOn.org voter fund that criticized President Bush, charging that the left-leaning political group is paying for them with money raised in violation of the new campaign finance law. Okay, you know, that's a fair question to bring up to MoveOn.org. But listen to what they're saying. This is a quote. As a broadcaster licensed by the Federal Communications Commission, you have a responsibility to the viewing public and to your licensing agency to refrain from complicity in any illegal activity. Now, if this was a Sopranos or something, there would be all this analysis of that statement as to what it really meant. Illegal activity. Complicity. Licensed by the Federal Communications Commission. In other words, if you do this, we're coming after you and we're getting your license revoked. They're not saying that. They never said that. They can't be caught saying that. But that is what they are saying. Continuing, now that you have been apprised of the law to prevent further violations of federal law, we urge you to remove these advertisements from your station's broadcast rotation. Amazing. And this is how you know that it's hurting them. This is how you know that those ads are having an effect. Now, the response from MoveOn.org, their lawyer, Joseph Sandler, said in a statement that the ads were funded legally, calling the RNC's letter a complete misrepresentation of the law. The federal campaign laws have permitted precisely this use of money for advertising for the past 25 years, he said. And MoveOn.org, which was planning to spend $1.9 million on an ad buy, that started Thursday, said Friday that it would spend another $1 million. So it's open to contention as to what's legal to spend as far as advertising, but in any event, to threaten TV stations like that is very heavy-handed. And, you know, I'd like to see more ads. I think what we should have, and tell me if you think this is a bad idea, TV stations that don't charge you for the advertising for political purposes. You have a TV station, say, in the middle of New York, and they just exist to air political advertising. And if you're interested in this, you tune to it, you listen to various people's points of views, and they don't have to raise millions of dollars to come up with these advertisements to pay for the airtime. I mean, actually, the existing stations should not be charging anything for this airtime for something important like political races. Anyone who's qualified to run should be able to get free airtime to reach the public on the public airwaves. Boy, what a dangerous idea that is. And unfortunately, it brings us to the end of our time. Again, we may be back next week, and if not, we'll certainly be back the week after that. And tomorrow night on Off the Hook. See you next week. Good night.
This is Father Guido Sarducci warning you that you listen to WSB 90.1 FM Stonebrook. Got it?